Check the levels, we're fine.
Okay.
I will just confirm that today is the 11th of August and I'm with Elena Moses to talk about the photographs she took for the Mill Road Depot project. Thank you.
And this was between spring and summer of this year. And I made four visits altogether. And making a selection, my selection as a photographer of my favourite photographs was quite an experience. I've not done it before. This was a job for me. It was a project. And I went there thinking, what is it about the site that should be documented? And as a photographer, I am thinking about, well, shall I take it from this angle or that angle? What does it look like? What kind of lens do I have? But on the final visit, I found that I had a little bit more freedom because there were only two or three things that I needed to photograph that hadn't been done on previous visits. And so I had time to wander through the site and actually look at it visually and think about what would actually make an interesting photograph as opposed to what would be a piece of documentation about the depot. So, let's start. The first photograph I've got has a very, very deep blue sky, and I was a bit surprised that it had come out like this in my camera. But it's just amazing, these blues and oranges and yellows. I find it fascinating. But what was fascinating was all these men waiting at the gate, waiting to go in. And I don't think they had any idea of what a beautiful composition they were making. I just loved being there with them, chatting with them. They were interested in why I should want to take photographs of them hanging around. But they were really friendly and some of them were interested in photography. Anyway, so I've got that. That's a good memory. And I've selected these two particular men because I came across them several times on other visits. So I can't remember the names, but I feel like I know them. The next photograph is of a man sitting on his own. And I like it as a photograph because it captures, the light just captures him sitting there with his mobile phone. He's either texting or reading something. And the light just catches the whole of his upper body, which is fluorescent orange. So it's a nice photograph. It's visually very pleasing. I like the composition. And I like the fact that he's there quietly on his own. It must be about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. It's dark outside. It's a little bit of light kind of coming through from somewhere, and I'm not sure where, but it's kind of falling on him. And he's probably, again, completely oblivious to the fact that he's actually part of a really pleasing composition. And then a bit later, he's joined by some more men. In fact, they've parked their cars now and they pile into the mess. This is where it is. This is where they congregate. And it was really too dark. The corners that they sat in, you know, were dark. So I left. I kind of went around the site and then I came back a bit later. And most of them were still there. And what I learned was that this time was so important to them. It's like men bonding, or, you know, I of course my presence just changed everything. I couldn't be a fly on the wall, but it would have been really interesting to hear what they were talking about. And the other thing that struck me was that they came to work at least half an hour earlier than they had to in order to be together. So that was a surprise for me, but, you know, a really nice one. I thought that's good because so much of the work that they do is just like full on physically, that there's very little time to kind of chat. That's what I kind of discovered in talking to them. And okay, The next photograph is, I don't even know what you call it, but it's some kind of a road cleaner. It's got a brand name there. And the day looks like it's really dawning in the sense that the sky is quite light, but you can still see the lights on this little truck. And it's so cute. I mean, I took it because it was, you know, something that they do. They get up early, up they go on the streets. But I liked it and it appealed to me because I couldn't quite believe that we have little vehicles like this that look like they've come out of Noddy Land, really, out of the kind of picture books that I had when I was a child, you know, growing up in the 1950s. And the other thing that struck me about it, why I think it's cute, is that, and I suppose it's true of almost all of our vehicles, that the way that the lights are ordered in the kind of front of the body, it kind of reminds you of a human face. And or maybe that's why it's appealing. Again, it's kind of appealing to that bit of the brain, you know, that's hardwired to be interested in human beings. Okay. Can I stop now?
Yeah.
Just because it feels like, ah!
Yeah, of course you can. Have a cup of swig of tea. We'll edit this bit out. Excellent. It's really funny you said about the 1950s picture books, because mm-hmm. I've just started writing my introduction to the thing. And of course, the two images I have in my head, one is a 1970s, or 60s probably actually, Ladybird book, People mm-hmm. Who Help Us.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is The Winter of Discontent. I've got these two child, and it's amazing how you go to childhood.
Yes.
You don't realise how hardwired these things are. And why would I, the first thing I thought of were those two things from when I must have been, say, 9 and then when I was 12.
Gosh.
It's amazing, isn't it? You know, you said about, it was so strange about 1950s, but I thought, yes, and I'm in the Ladybird books too, isn't it funny?
Great. Well, it's interesting. I had Ladybird books, but I think I think I loved Noddy, and of course it was not PC afterwards.
No.
And you know, it's like when you don't know about racism and things like that, gollywogs are just lovely, you know, and you don't
exactly.
understand the kind of kind of connection with the words and things.
No, exactly, as a child.
Mm. Okay, so here's another one, and this one's the green machine. So this is a slightly different kind, but again, it's exactly the same. It's got those two big lights for eyes. I'm trying to think if I was going to be modern now. What would be the kind of Pixar film that's like Toy Story, but to do with cars and things? I haven't been to see it, but I think there is one. Right, next photograph. Well, there are two here that go together. Don't do your donut, keep your jam in. I looked at that and I thought, what the heck is that about? And I took the photograph initially because I didn't quite get it. Whereas the next one I really got because this is you know, my previous incarnation was in organizational development with local authorities, just like the city council. But don't do your donut. Well, I finally got it. I thought, yeah, it's to do with your back. It's to do with your discs. It's to do with not kind of breaking your back and slipping your discs. I think that to me is what it says now. But the difference on this board between don't do your donut and council objectives, the difference in the language, you know, and also, for me as a photographer, the difference in the visual message of it, how that does kind of speak very dramatically. It makes you stop. Like, I didn't quite get it immediately, but it made me stop and think. Whereas this was just a piece of text, and I thought, yeah. And I'm so familiar with that. And I also know that, you know, objectives like that are so meaningless unless people are actually helping create them. So I've got there as a reminder to me of how workers themselves are actually challenging that kind of dull, deadening bureaucracy, you know, that you find in organisations and certainly in local authorities. So that was a nice bit of contrast. And then I came across this. And this is a shed with just all sorts of bits and pieces, like salt for the road. And I'm not sure what this is actually called, this shed, but in amongst the salt carts, lying on its side is this big banner, the Mill Road Feast. And I think it's to do with a festival of food, but why it's there, I don't know. It's probably going to be used again, but it just looks like it's just lying around. So I found it interesting because I thought, it's a shame it's lying around. I just thought it'd be really nice to have it up on the wall somewhere, you know, almost like a piece of art as a reminder that this is what the council has been involved in. Or maybe it's not the council. I just don't get it. Then here, now then, this is completely visual. It's a piece of machinery, and I was attracted to it, not knowing anything about it. It does not speak to me at a technological level, because it's a mixture of buttons of different colour, angles and shapes and lights and stripes. It's a piece of metal gadgetry with little bits of plastic and wires in it. And it just looks absolutely fascinating. But I appreciate it at the level of just visual interest. I mean, I did attempt, and I think from my memory, it's something to do with an old piece of cleaning equipment that they have there. But I was attracted to it just by the colours in it and just by the shapes in it. And I thought, somebody must have had some fun designing that. It's a bit like, you know, a bit more advanced than coloured Lego. Now here we have a man's bottom with Pedal Revolution written all over it. And the reason why I took this is that I thought, yeah, me taking a photograph of a man's bottom is not loaded in the same way as me taking photographs of a woman's bottom. But also, like, the fact that women's bodies are used for selling all sorts of things, I was interested in that this was also selling something. But it was selling a concept, an idea, rather than just a product. So Pedal Revolution, I haven't looked them up, but I thought, yeah, this is really good. And
it's 15 hours.
Let's turn that off. Oh. So I know a little bit about him. Again, I've forgotten his name, but the fact that he had to cycle 40 miles to work, a round trip, just because he couldn't afford to live in Cambridge. You know, that this is how badly paid council workers are. Anyway, where he lives now, I don't know, but this was a few years back. And I thought, yeah, it's really great that you can pedal around town with your bum showing a slogan like that. I thought, that's good. Then here, again, I've selected this photograph because this man looks very pristine in his fluorescent jacket. It's, I guess it's a fleece. But the light is falling on his face in a really lovely way. And he's got a beautiful smile on his face, so at that kind of human level. He was very, very shy. He didn't want to face me to take a photograph, and I said, you don't need to. I said, you look absolutely lovely in profile. And I think he was a bit tickled by that, but he tried to keep talking to his colleagues who were there, because he didn't really want to have his photograph taken, but on the other hand, he wasn't going to stop me. One or two of them did actually do that, but he didn't. And I just thought it was really lovely. Now, do you remember her name?
Tracy.
Tracy, yeah. Well, I've got a photograph of Tracy here, surrounded by her files, and she's worked for the council for a very long time. And she's got the most wonderful smile on her face. And the reason why I like this photograph is that it reminds me of the need for diversity in the world, because I would absolutely hate to be in a job like that, surrounded by files and charts on the wall and several in trays and up trays, and she's got piles of things, and she probably knows exactly where everything is, and I wouldn't, because I would want to be away from that as much as possible. So it's kind of reminding me of my life, because I did work in the health authority. I did have a managerial job. I did have an office like this at one time, and I'm so glad that I don't have to do it anymore. But she looks as if she's completely suited and happy to it, and so much so that her daughter has come to work, at least for the holiday period, for the city council, and probably doing something, you know, the kind of same skills as her mum. So that's why I like that photograph. And I remember his name. His name is Lee, and he is an union rep. And he's new in this office, so he's just kind of getting used to it. And he was so friendly and so welcoming, very happy to have his photo taken, and we had a little chat. And it's reminding me that on so many occasions, it would have been just gorgeous to linger longer and talk to people about their work. And, you know, I didn't have the time to do that. And it's reminding me, too, that people are doing so many things behind the scenes to keep our city functioning well, and that most of us don't have a clue, really, as to what's going on. And here we have the bike man's face. I can't remember his name. Can you? Is it? It's not Martin, is it? Mark, right. Mark. So Mark is very happy to have his photograph taken. So anyway, I think it's quite nice to have a face as well as a bottom. This is why I think. So that you don't kind of objectify it. I think people are in their faces so much, you know, so much of what they are and who they are is there for everybody to see in their face. Now, this one is four men in a lorry, and I think I was really surprised that four of them could travel together. And again, I'm thinking, yeah, they're really squeezed tight in there as a team, and you know, they're smiling at me, taking a photograph of them as they're approaching me. So it's not as if I've asked for their permission or anything yet. I had to do that afterwards. But there they are, happy to be photographed. And it made me think, actually, to what extent a project like this does make a difference to people. I mean, will these workers go and visit the website? Will they have any idea of, you know, how exciting and what a privilege it is for somebody like me and you to go in and just get a sense of what their work is about? And here we have John. And John is kind of, I'm not sure what John is doing. It looks like he's just landed on the desk. Well, he's trying to do some kind of manoeuvre that involves him not standing with his feet on the floor. And it's almost like office yoga, I think. And that was the other thing I learnt about, really how much of a laugh people do have when they're at work, so that it just makes the monotony of an office job bearable. And I can't remember his name. Do you remember his name? He worked in the stores.
Is that Bob?
Yes, it's Bob. Yes, it is Bob. So here we are. This looks like Bob the Builder, shifting bricks. And I'm not sure why I like it. I think he's looking around. I don't know whether he's about to manoeuvre and just checking where he's going or what, but his gaze is not ahead. And I like the fact that there's a pale blue sky and there's a yellow caterpillar which is a forklift truck which he's driving. So again, there's colour, there's something that looks like a red tank on the back of this, whether that holds some hydraulic fluid or whether it's diesel or what, I've got no idea. But actually just looking at these photographs, you know, way beyond kind of capturing the moment, just gets me thinking, and I realise just how much I don't know. Right, so now... The next one is of a big poster about recycling in Cambridge. It's kind of advertising that you can recycle all these things at this site, whatever the site is going to be. And I think that for years I just felt quite obligated as a, you know, good citizen to do the recycling. And now as I do it, I think I've got a very, very different view. I kind of think about recycling as one of the ways, really, that capitalism gets you to work harder and harder as a human being. You have to do this. You know, I look at this and I get to feel quite angry. I get angry about why aren't all supermarkets providing us with paper bags, strong paper bags. You know, why is there still so much plastic when we could be using other things? So, yeah, there's the things like the cardboard and the paper and glass. I've no problems about that. But there's something about this whole setup, again, that requires you to do the work when companies who are packaging this stuff could be actually sorting and solving the problem at source, rather than kind of, you know, in a sense, we have to pay for it because we are the ones that are having to work for it. So, next. So these photographs were taken by me at about 6 o'clock in the morning in October of a previous year, and I decided to go out to see what I would find in Cambridge early in the morning before the rush hour starts. And I really hadn't expected to see men hosing down Petty Cury and the Guildhall in amongst the market traders, kind of putting up their wares. And again, it struck me that so much of the work that people do in providing us with a clean space is quite solitary work. So this man was on his own, and he must have been there for a good hour as I kind of wandered around the market. So now we come to photographs which were taken on my last visit and which I've chosen purely really because I like I like them on artistic merit, but that's not to say that they don't have any other meaning either. So there's a couple here with a wall that's not really used in any way, and nature has asserted itself and kind of got between the cracks, and there are these beautiful grasses which are now dried out in the photos that I took. But I don't know, I think it just reminds me of the kind of cycle of life as well, because behind it is a building which is now way past its usefulness and it's boarded up, and I think this is the building that had a danger sign on it. And so the building essentially is dead and it's going to be demolished. And then these grasses have also kind of served their purpose. But even in decay, they look beautiful. And I think even the building in decay also looks beautiful. With all these different brickwork. And I guess I do feel sad. I mean, if I linger for a few moments on the thought that this is going to be demolished, and I suppose because I don't have quite a recycling mind, or not that I don't have a recycling mind, I don't have a kind of a recycling as an engineer kind of mind. So are these bricks going to be crushed just because the building is past its usefulness on the depot? You know, what's going to happen to the actual fabric of the building? It's making me wonder and making me wonder if we actually said, well, we need the depot for housing. How can we use the depot without demolishing it for housing? That would have been perhaps an interesting, you know, little exercise. And this, these are photographs. I was just looking at the mosses growing in the cracks between the bricks, and then I realised there was a little dinky toy on top of the wall. I thought, somebody has put it there. And why? You know, why? Why is this little dinky toy there? Who actually brought it there and left it there? Here's another face. This again is another piece of machinery. It's something to do vehicle lift number 2, power on. It's got a big keyhole in it. But you know, it's like 2 black eyes and a red snout. It looks like a dog to me. But there's something just so funny and childlike about it. I just had to snap it. So here we are. This is one of the kind of post-Holocaust photographs of corrugated zinc. Close up, looking dark and why do I think it's beautiful? It's very hard to say. I think sometimes you just can't explain why you think something is beautiful. I just do, but I think that within that beauty there has to be, you know, there are other things embodied in it that I can't get away from. The fact that there's paint peeling on the louvers of the window, and that, you know, somebody painted those and the paint has now kind of peeled away. I just can't get away from the involvement of human beings in the kind of creation of things. And I guess what I'm thinking of is like, is this why we create? Do we, when we create and we put love into making things, do we also realize that one day it's gonna go? And that people are gonna look at it and think it's a piece of junk or it's a piece of rubbish. And the next one is a building that was very dark. I couldn't really see much inside it, but it did have a metal gate with a kind of a grid that you could just about peer through, but it was locked, and somebody had painted "keep locked" on one of the rusting posts. And it must have been painted a very long time ago because the paint is kind of really quite faded. So again, I find rust fascinating. The patterns in rust, the colours of rust. You know, rust isn't just one colour. It's just lots and lots and lots of textures in rust as well. So there we are. It's very earthy iron. And now we come to the garage. Well, this... When I first saw this, I thought, gosh, this is just like an art installation. Rusting bits of machinery. Well, not tools, rather than machinery. Hung up on a blue painted wall. But somebody had quite a bit of fun drawing the outlines of them. And I suppose it just makes it a lot easier for you to figure out where something goes just from the shape of it. So somebody must have had a lot of fun at one time just creating like a jigsaw puzzle of fitting all these tools in together in perhaps the most efficient way, because it looks like a beautiful jigsaw puzzle piece to me. Really, really lovely. I like that a lot. So I think what the depot, brought to me over and over again was that here we have something so useful, so utilitarian, something so industrial, something so mechanical, and yet with my eyes as a photographer, I could see so much art there in a way that perhaps most people didn't, because once or twice I was asked, well, why are you taking a photo of that? So I think it's probably the eyes of someone who comes with curiosity, because this is so new to me. And again, things that took my attention were, this workshop has been accident-free for 805 days. Now, I don't know if that is actually changed every single day or whether that's got ossified in time, because what I did discover was that lots of different bits of the depot had been ossified. So the depot was an industrial museum, a kind of an archaeological museum in itself, and so many things harked back to times gone and did not represent the function of the depot now. So this one, UPVC window manufacturing unit. Once upon a time, they made UPVC windows on this site. And this huge piece of signage is still up, but it's cracked, it's broken. And underneath it is the kind of logo working for the community. And even that's partly peeled away. But I think that's quite a profound thing to think about, working for the community. I just found it quite poignant, really, that it was almost like working for the community is peeling away, and that the whole concept of public goods and public service is also kind of peeling away. And then this is a little corner that really surprised me. I thought, what the heck is this? Because there's piles and piles of very ancient plastic trays with Safeway kind of written on them, and lots of cartons of baking potatoes. So this puzzled me enormously. And so I didn't know this, but parts of the council depot now are leased out to other small businesses and charities. So it doesn't kind of quite explain whose they are, but it just didn't sit with my notion of what a council depot was all about to see these supermarket trays. And then this was just like a funny thing to find. Especially since 2007-08 to find a box in the garage. A deed box, a black metal deed box with housing mortgages written on it and placed on top of another container, big orange metal container with a danger sign underneath it. And I thought, people here do have humour. Oh, I thought that was wonderful. And it makes a really nice photograph, I think, because of the colours in it. You know, it's very dramatic. So I like it compositionally. Whoever set this up, you know, had an eye, but an eye for the absurd as well. So this next one is, again, working for the community. This time the sign is intact. But whatever it was, this piece of the depot is not clearly understandable. I think it's an area where lots of bits and pieces are just kept. This is the kind of box room area. But I liked it compositionally again because it's what the depot is about. The brickwork is still fine. The metal bits are rusting away. The sign is there valiantly working for the community, still kind of hanging on. And yet underneath it is whatever it was is full of decay and isn't really kind of quite understandable now. So I think that kind of represents the state that the depot is in for me. And then there's this interesting piece. Well, I guess I haven't visited a bathroom showroom for a very long time, but when I visited the stores, there were all sorts of things in the stores that I was surprised about. But, you know, one of the things is that they keep in the stores things for council houses that they have to replace every so often. So there were baths in there. And I was just very surprised to see this bath protected by cardboard, but beautifully and kind of artistically decked in cardboard. So I had to take a photo of that. And this next photo. Oh. This is a photograph of Linda in her office. And Linda has retired now. She retired when I was visiting. And she'd worked there for years and years and years, probably since she left school. And her office is like no other, because she must have about 2,000 elephants in it. And I think what made me laugh about this was that these, if you like, indulgences are allowed. It's so bizarre to have a collection of things in your office, but it also transports you, I think, away from the kind of mundaneness of your job. You know, to have exotic animals from African and Indian continents and covering your shelves. I mean, in elephants on the walls. I mean, everywhere you turned, there were elephants. And she just got on with her work. So again, I would have really liked to have had a chat with her about how long, you know, this collection had been in the making. I do know that other people would bring her elephants. But this is what you would find in some of the offices on the depot, that people's idiosyncrasies were indulged, and it just made, you know, the working environment human and interesting. So here are the men together now, and it's light, and they're chatting again. So I think I like this photograph because they all look so relaxed and they're having a laugh together. I don't quite know, you know, whether they're just going out on a different shift compared to the others, but this is not nighttime. And this one is of Bruce. Now, Bruce works in an office, and I think the photograph is an absolutely beautiful photograph again, because he's not sitting next to a window, but there is light coming in from a window into this room that just catches him as he's sitting back relaxed in his chair and catches his face. And again, I think he looks relaxed, he looks alert, and I'm thinking, I could never look like that sitting in an office, not next to a window. So it says a lot about me. And the fact that other people can tolerate things that I can't, because I think Bruce has worked there for a very long time too. So, but I think almost all of these photographs are things I've selected because I realised that I could look at these photographs for a long time and come back to them and look and find something different in them yet again. You know, there's just so much there to reflect on. Now, this is a nice contradiction. This is in the old house, and yet this is a piece of modern architecture within it. And I really like this, and I think it just goes to show that you can have modernism and traditional kind of living together. And I would imagine that there are some things that are really quite unusual here, like there's a big pillar here, and I just wonder whether it's a tube that's carrying all sorts of cables and things from one floor to the next, but it just looks good there. I like looking at the lines of it, and there are lots of vertical lines, there are diagonal lines, and I don't know, it's quite pleasing with light and shadow, just like looking at it. The colours are soft. It's a very relaxing photograph to look at. Now, this I have chosen because what's in focus is the map of what Cambridge City Council owns behind, I think he's the director of planning. And that to me is just so interesting. All these orange bits are what the City Council owns in land. And I think I'm quite surprised that it actually owns so much, but I would imagine that quite a few of these pieces, from the size of them, are green spaces. And so as I thought about it, I thought, well, given that the university owns such a lot of the land, it's surprising. But actually, I'd like there to be more big orange spaces there that would, you know, would be available for the public to use. So ideally, I would like to just kind of examine it and get a better sense, because here it's just almost like teasing me, you know. I can't get quite close enough to it. I can't blow it up big enough to see what we actually own as citizens of Cambridge. And this, I like this because I think this sums up the kind of level of friendliness in the place, that you've got a manager fixing one of her colleagues' coats. And the look on his face is just, you know, happy and relaxed, and he doesn't mind it. It's not It's not like intrusive on him. There's an ease between him and her that's completely acceptable to both of them. Right, now, this is a notice board. And I just wonder, is it used? Again, is this a piece of gear that's just been abandoned? And just because it isn't used, you know, it's not removed, it's there. It's a list of men's names and who's out, with one tick, Richard is out. And I think it's 1190 that's written on there. So what, or is it 1110? I can't quite read it. I'd have to blow it up. But I'm kind of thinking, how old is it? When was that written? There's something about it that isn't modern, and yet nobody has removed it. And there's still a pen sitting on top of this, and there's still a duster there to wipe it out. Now, it could be used, but there are so many people written whose names are written down on it, and there's nothing to indicate where they've gone or the time that they're due back. So I think that's what makes me think that it's just not functional anymore. And yet there it is. It's a reminder of how people worked. They signed themselves out. They signed themselves in. And nearby are some metal boxes, key boxes. And they're all open. And most of them have got one key in them. And yet, again, they're clean. And yet they have a look of kind of abandon about them. And I think that the reason why that's appealing as a photograph to me, you know, it begs a question, but also as a photograph, I quite like the fact that there are a series of things and they're not quite symmetrical, but there's a repeat pattern there that is pleasing on the eye.